This is David Duke. And this is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast. Broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent wherever they may live upon the earth. I'm continuing with my audio version, my audio book of Jewish Supremacism, a book which is now in 12 languages around the world, the most important and the most read book on the Jewish question on the entire earth. I hope that you're enjoying this process. I'm in the middle of the first chapter on the State of Israel. There are three chapters in Israel in Jewish Supremacism, and I hope that you enjoy and find these chapters fascinating and to really understand what's going on in the Middle East, American policy, the crimes that Israel's committed in Lebanon, what's happening in Iraq, and the rest of it. You must understand fully the nature and the basis of Israel, and that's what these chapters are doing. So today we'll go into the third part of Israel, a supremacist state. Okay, here we go. This is from Jewish Supremacism, Israel, a supremacist state, part three. Next section, Zionism, Nazism, born in each other's image. In the Nuremberg War Crimes trials, Julius Streicher, the notorious publisher of the Nazi magazine Der Stürmer, gave the following testimony when asked if he had helped develop Germany's racial laws. The accused, Streicher, quote, "Yes, I had been writing that all mixing of German and Jewish blood had to be prevented in the future. I wrote articles to that effect, and I've always repeated that we had to take the Jewish race or the Jewish people as a model. I have always repeated in my articles that the Jews were to be regarded as a model by other races, for they have given themselves a racial law, the law of Moses, which says, quote, if you go into foreign lands, you must not take foreign wives. And this, gentlemen, is of great importance in judging the Nuremberg laws. It was these Jewish laws that were taken as a model. When centuries later the Jewish legislator Ezra saw that, despite this, many Jews had married non-Jewish wives, these bonds were broken. This was the origin of Jewry, which, thanks to its racial laws, survived for centuries, whereas all the other races and civilizations were destroyed." Unquote. The racial awakening in Europe in the 19th and 20th centuries grew in great part because of the presence of the Jewish people. There were no blacks or orientals in Europe, but there was no shortage of Jews. Scientific and social observers noted that their character and appearance differed from those of the indigenous races of Europe. One of the first major figures to recognize the dynamic power of race and to write extensively about it was the British Prime Minister, Benjamin Disraeli, who himself was of Jewish origin. He stated, quote, "The racial question is the key to world history. All is race. There's no other truth." Unquote. Scholars who recognized the role of race in history knew that the power and perseverance of the Jewish race rests in its ethnocentrism and prohibitions against intermarriage, enabling it to survive after 2,000 years of living among Gentiles. As Streicher's testimony proves, the formulators of European racial ideology had learned a lot from studying Jewish institutions and history. Although Zionists and Nazis saw each other as mortal enemies, many of the leaders of both movements had extremely similar ideas, and many collaborated in pursuit of their mutual aims. The National Socialists wanted their own nation free of Jewish influence, and the Zionists sought non-assimilation with Gentiles and a nation of their own. Even today in modern America and Europe, most major Jewish organizations mightily oppose intermarriage. At first glance, it seems unbelievable that Zionism and Nazism sometimes had worked together, but the historical record reveals fascinating and copious evidence. Most Jews in Europe and the rest of the world virulently opposed Hitler and the National Socialist government of Germany. In fact, as Hitler gained power in 1933, the World Jewish Congress, claiming to speak for Jews worldwide, declared economic war on Germany and announced their intention to do everything in their power to destroy Germany and National Socialism. Within the Jewish community, however, there were many Zionists who saw the anti-Semitic policies of Germany as an aid to the creation of the Jewish state. They saw those policies as encouraging immigration to Palestine and increasing Jewish anger and solidarity. And interestingly, they viewed the racial thinking of Hitler as analogous to what they desired for their own people. For these Jews, collusion between Zionists and the Nazis served the interests of both. Britain had difficulty in dealing with the increased Jewish immigration to Palestine in the 1930s, and it caused marked unrest in the Arab sectors of the Mandate. To lessen tensions, the British attempted to limit Jewish immigration into Palestine. And to this opportunity stepped Hitler and Nazi Germany. Hitler had misgivings about Israel becoming a center for international Jewish power in the same way the Soviet Union had become one for international communism. Although he had concerns about damaging German relations with the Arab world, he saw the immigration of Jews from Germany and all Europe as being of a paramount importance. In his mind, a Jewish state in Palestine might be a practical destination for Europe's Jews, although he favored the far less populated and larger island of Madagascar. From the earliest days of Hitler's rise to power, the leading Zionist organization in Germany sought out common ground with him. Within months of Hitler's achieving the chancellorship, the Zionist Federation of Germany presented him with a statement suggesting that Zionism could solve the, quote, Jewish question, unquote. And by the way, the documentation for all these quotes is in my book, Jewish Supremacism, in this chapter. And you can check out these quotations and documents for yourself. They are certainly amazing, but they can be proven without any shadow of a doubt. And here's the quotation. In the foundation of the new state, which is proclaimed the race principle. Now again, this is the Zionist Federation of Germany speaking. We wish to adapt our community to these new structures. Our recognition of the Jewish nationality allows us to establish clear and sincere relations with the German people and its national and racial realities, precisely because we do not want to underestimate these fundamental principles, because we too are against mixed marriages and for the maintaining of the purity of the Jewish group. Zionism believes that the rebirth of the national life of a people, which is now occurring in Germany through the emphasis on its Christian and national character, must also come about in the Jewish national group. For the Jewish people, too, national origin, religion, common destiny, and a sense of its uniqueness must be of decisive importance in the shaping of its existence. We are not blind to the fact that a Jewish question exists and will continue to exist. From the abnormal situation of the Jews, severe disadvantages result for them, but also scarcely tolerable conditions for other peoples. Unquote. Joachim Prinz, a German Zionist who immigrated to the United States and who later became head of the American Jewish Congress, wrote in his 1934 book, Wir Juden, We Jews, that the National Socialist Revolution in Germany meant Jewry for the Jews. Prinz, in later years, also wrote scathingly about Adolf Hitler's view of the importance of race, but hypocritically showed no reluctance to defend the concept of the Jewish race. And here's a direct quote from his writings. We want assimilation to be replaced by a new law, the declaration of belonging to the Jewish nation and the Jewish race, a state built upon the principle of the purity of nation and race, can only be honored and respected by a Jew who declares his belonging to his own kind. No subterfuge can save us now. In place of assimilation, we desire a new concept, recognition of the Jewish nation and Jewish race. Now, this is a man who became head of the American Jewish Congress, one of the most powerful and largest Jewish organizations in the United States of America. In his key book of modern Zionism, The Jewish State, Theodor Herzl maintained that the Jews were much more than a religious community. They were a people. Herzl even used the well-known German racialist word, Volk, to describe them. Volk was also one of Hitler's favorite words. With it, he described his ideal state, the Völkische Staat. Herzl wrote, long before Hitler's rise, that anti-Semitism is a natural reaction to Gentiles to Jews. He advocated a separate state as the only real answer to the conflict. And I quote, the Jewish question exists wherever Jews live in noticeable numbers. Where it does not exist, it is brought in by arriving Jews. I believe I understand anti-Semitism, which is a very complex phenomenon. I consider this development, as a Jew, without hate or fear, it's a national question. To solve it, we must above all make an international political issue a final solution to the Jewish question. Unquote. The leading German Zionist newspaper, Jüdische Rundschau, in 1935 even went so far as to express approval of the Nuremberg laws designating Jews as an alien nationality and forbidding intermarriage and sexual relations between Germans and Jews. I'll quote, the new law gives the Jewish minority in Germany its own cultural life, its own national life, and the future will be able to shape its own schools, its own theater, its own sports associations. In short, it can create its own future in all aspects of national life. Unquote. George Koreski, the former head of the largest Jewish community in Western Europe, that of Berlin, and the leader of the Zionist State Organization and Jewish Cultural League, made the following comment to the Berlin Daily Der Angriff at the end of 1935, and I quote, for many years, I have regarded a complete separation of the cultural affairs of the two peoples, Jews and Germans, as a precondition for living together without conflict. I have long supported such a separation, provided it's founded on respect for the alien nationality. The Nuremberg laws seem to me, apart from their legal provisions, to conform entirely with the desire for a separate life based on mutual respect. This interruption of the process of dissolution in many Jewish communities, which had been promoted through mixed marriages, is therefore, from a Jewish point of view, entirely welcome. Unquote. Other leading Zionists around the world spoke similarly. Rabbi Stephen S. Wise, president of the American Jewish Congress and the World Jewish Congress, speaking before a rally in New York in 1938, said, and I quote, I am not an American citizen of the Jewish faith. I am a Jew. I am an American. I've been an American for 63/64 of my life, but I've been a Jew for 4,000 years. Hitler was right in one thing. He calls the Jewish people a race, and we are a race. Unquote. Not only did the Nazis and the Zionists cooperate with each other, they actively collaborated up to and even during the Second World War. The Nazi government set up a series of 40 agricultural centers throughout Germany to train young Jews for kibbutz life in Palestine. It supported immigration of Jews to Palestine until prevented by the war. The official SS newspaper, Das Schwarze Korps, supported Zionism in front page editorials. The SS collaborated with the Haganah, the Zionist underground military in Palestine, with help in Jewish immigration, and even provided smuggled guns for Zionist forces, despite misgivings. Hitler continued to support Zionist objectives in Palestine. Hitler told his army adjutant in 1939 and again in 1941 that he had asked the British in 1937 about transferring all of Germany's Jews to Palestine or Egypt. The British rejected the proposal, he said, because it would cause further disorder in those countries. As the British government became more restrictive on Jewish immigration to Palestine in the late 1930s, the SS made a pact with the secret Zionist agency Mossad Li Aliyah Bet to smuggle Jews into Palestine. As a result of this collaboration, Jewish migration, both legal and illegal, from Germany, including Austria, to Palestine increased dramatically in 1938 and 1939. 10,000 Jews were scheduled for immigration in October 1939, but the beginning of the war prevented it. During 1940 and 1941, as late as March 1942, Germany still assisted with indirect Jewish immigration to Palestine and had at least one officially authorized Zionist kibbutz training camp in Germany for potential immigrants. As a side note, this is in March 1942 with the war waging full bore. The German government is training Zionist leaders in Germany. Amazing, isn't it? In the economic sphere, the Havara Agreement between the Nazi Germans and the Palestinian Center of the World Zionist Organization was vital to the Zionist cause. It began in 1933 and lasted throughout the 1930s and allowed the transfer of Jewish wealth to Palestine. Through this pact, Hitler's Third Reich did more than any other government during the 1930s to support Jewish development in Palestine. And another side note, you know, it's how many times have the Jews condemned nations that cooperated with Hitler and that didn't go to war against Hitler earlier, even the United States? And yet here's a situation where the foundations of Israel cooperated hand and foot with Hitler's regime in Germany. I'll continue. Probably the most telling document of the willingness of some Zionist factions to enter an alliance with Hitler was the offer made in 1941 by the Fighters for Freedom of Israel, popularly called the Lehi, or the Stern Gang. One of its top officials was Yitzhak Shamir, who later became the leader and chief terrorist after Stern's death, and who later became Israel's prime minister in the 1980s. The Stern Gang considered the British to be Zionism's biggest enemy because Great Britain tried to protect the civil rights of the native Palestinians and attempted to slow the insurgent Jewish immigration. In one of the most amazing facts of modern history, the Lehi actually made a formal proposal to the Germans of a military alliance between the Jewish Revolutionary Organization and the Nazis. In effect, they formally proposed to join the war on Germany's side. Now, here is a text of portions of their communique with the Nazis. Quote, "In their speeches and statements, the leading statesmen of National Socialist Germany have often emphasized that a new order in Europe requires a prerequisite, a radical solution of the Jewish question by evacuation, a Jew-free Europe. The evacuation of the Jewish masses from Europe is a precondition for solving the Jewish question. However, the only way this can be totally achieved is through settlement of these masses in the homeland of the Jewish people, Palestine, and by establishment of a Jewish state in its historical boundaries. The goal of the political activity and the years of struggle by the Israel Freedom Movement, the National Military Organization in Palestine, Ergun Zvi Lumi, is to solve the Jewish problem in this way and thus completely liberate the Jewish people forever. The NMO, which is very familiar with the goodwill of the German Reich government and its officials towards Zionist activities within Germany and the Zionist immigration program, takes the view that 1. Common interests can exist between a European New Order based on the German concept and a true national aspiration of the Jewish people as embodied by the NMO. 2. Cooperation is possible between the New Germany and a renewed folkish national Jewry. 3. The establishment of the historical Jewish state on a national and totalitarian basis and bound by treaty with the German Reich would be in the interest of maintaining and strengthening the future German position of power in the Near East. On the basis of these considerations, and upon the condition that the German Reich government recognize the national aspirations of the Israeli freedom movement mentioned above, the NMO in Palestine offers to actively take part in the war on the side of Germany. This offer by the NMO could include military, political, and informational activity within Palestine and, after certain organizational measures, outside as well. The indirect participation of the Israel Freedom Movement in the New Order of Europe already in the preparatory stage, combined with a positive, radical solution of the European Jewish problem on the basis of the national aspirations of the Jewish people mentioned above, would greatly strengthen the moral foundation of the New Order in the eyes of all humanity. The cooperation of the Israel Freedom Movement would also be consistent with a recent speech by the German Reich Chancellor in which Hitler stressed that he would utilize any combination and coalition in order to isolate and defeat England." Unquote. No records exist of the German response to the amazing proposal, but by the time it was offered, Germany had already committed itself to a pro-Arab posture in an attempt to undermine Britain's position in the Middle East. When I first saw this document, I noticed the ideological similarities between Zionism and National Socialism, right down to the use of the favorite Nazi word, Völkisch, to describe the foundations of the state that they wanted to create. It fascinated me to read about Zionist collusion with Nazi Germany. Zionist-Nazi collaboration has long been a dirty little secret, one that speaks volumes about the ideological foundations of Israel and the lengths to which Zionist extremists would go to secure its creation. Well, folks, that's the end of the third part of Israel, a supremacist state. Tomorrow we'll go into the final part, part four, of Israel, a supremacist state, from my book, Jewish Supremacism. Please remember that your support and your work to spread these ideas and really this knowledge, because as you know from this chapter and from this entire book, most of these quotes are direct from Jewish sources. When I say the Zionists collaborated with the Nazis, I can prove it. And yet, this is the same charge that Jews often condemn of nations such as Switzerland or other nations in the world. And yet, the foundations, the very roots of Israel are rooted in cooperation with National Socialism. The hypocrisy is rampant, as seems all things connected to Jewish supremacism. Until tomorrow, I hope that you all have a great day, and I wish you the best. Please help us spread this word out there and use the computer you have in front of you as a tremendous instrument of enlightenment and knowledge across the world. Thanks so much. I'll see you again tomorrow.
This has been a David Duke Worldwide Web Radio broadcast. For more information and to support our vital work, please visit www.daviddukedavidduke.com.